Hi everyone, today we're reading John chapter 6, and I'll read from verses 60 to 71. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This is a hard saying. Who can listen to it?" But Jesus, knowing in himself that his disciples were grumbling about this, said to them, "Do you take offense at this? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I've spoken to you are spirit and life. But there are some of you who do not believe." For Jesus knew from the beginning who those were who did not believe and who it was who would betray him. And he said, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by the Father." After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. So Jesus said to the 12, "Do you want to go away as well?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." Jesus answered them, "Did I not choose you, the 12? And yet one of you is a devil." He spoke of Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, for he, one of the 12, was going to betray him. So if you remember yesterday's passage, Jesus said some crazy stuff. Now, again, if Jesus' goal, which it was not, but if Jesus' goal was to gather crowds at this point, he needed a much better marketing strategy. He should have chosen some different words, because in yesterday's passage, Jesus said stuff like, "You have to eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood." Feed on his flesh, drink his blood is what Jesus said to the crowds. Jesus makes it sound like we have to be cannibals or vampires to follow God or to find eternal life. And I can just imagine if we were one of Jesus' disciples, like one of his 12 disciples, say, and we're excited about how this movement's growing. There's these huge crowds gathering. And then Jesus says these words, "Eat my flesh and drink my blood." I think all of us would have our heads down thinking, why do you have to say it like that, Jesus? Because it's a terrible marketing strategy. And in this passage, we see that the reaction from people is exactly what we would expect. And actually, the key words here is that in verse 60, John says that when many of his disciples heard this. And so that's key here, because it's not even necessarily the crowds who are the issue here. It's people who had already been following Jesus. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This is a hard saying." And Jesus says, Jesus knew that his disciples were grumbling about what he had just said. And so in verse 66 here, we discover that many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. Jesus says this crazy stuff, and people who have been following him start to leave, much less the crowds and all the other people who were there before. Now, this kind of dynamic, what we see in this passage, is still at play today. Now, if we can get past like atheism, secularism, or whatever, and we can get people excited or at least interested in following Jesus, that's a great thing, right? If we can gather crowds of people who are interested in following Jesus, that's awesome. And in many ways, the idea of following Jesus is great. We have key buzzwords like love and faith and hope and joy and peace. There's all these things that Jesus has to offer, and it's great stuff. And we can tell people, yeah, follow Jesus and you'll discover love. You'll find peace and joy. But when it comes down to it, there's still something very offensive about following Jesus. Now, granted, in this passage, it seems like Jesus is trying to offend people with his words. But if we can get past even how he says it in this passage, what he's actually saying is actually still offensive in a different way. If Jesus chose better words, it's still basically what he's saying here is that without me, without trusting in me and what I've done for you, you have no life in you, is what Jesus is saying. He says that in order to have true life, you have to follow me. We have to follow Jesus to have true life. But he's also saying that if we don't follow Jesus, we're not experiencing like real life. We have no life in us. And that's deeply offensive if you don't understand who Jesus is. And I think sometimes we don't recognize how offensive that really is, because it's saying without Jesus, you don't have real life. Your life isn't really life. Your accomplishments, your status, your wealth, your skills, your gifts, everything. Jesus is essentially saying those things don't really matter without me. Without Jesus, those things do not matter. And that's a hard, hard pill to swallow. And this is why disciples turn back and stop following Jesus. And I think that's why much of the Christianity we can see around us in this country, even, it can be pretty shallow, because we get satisfied by having the crowds, or we're excited about the crowds. But if we go deeper than just like your standard, like understand love, then it means we have to change. It means we have to recognize that what we do, our accomplishments, our education, the power we have to recognize those things don't mean that much without Jesus. And that's hard to accept. But in this passage, we see an example of people accepting. And it's actually kind of a rare affirmation of Jesus' disciples here. Most of the time in the Gospels, they're like kind of like bumbling idiots, Jesus' disciples. But here, there's a good affirmation of them. Jesus asked them directly, "Do you want to go away as well?" Jesus sees these people leaving. His disciples, these 12 disciples, see people leaving. And so he asked them, "Do you want to go as well?" Now, I don't think Jesus wants them to leave, but he also is not forcing them to stay. Right? Jesus is gentle. He doesn't force us to do anything. And actually, Jesus is really gracious here, because one of the people who stays is Judas, which we're told very bluntly here, who would betray him later. But in the midst of all that, Jesus asked him, "Do you want to go away as well?" And then Peter, he says maybe his best line in all of the Bible. He says, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." There's nowhere else to go. There's no better place to be. This is it. Peter recognizes something incredibly important here. He's recognizing that any other place, any other way to go, does not lead to eternal life. Everything else leads to death. Any other direction, any other person, any other teaching, any other way of life is temporary or transient. But Jesus, he knows, has the words of eternal life. Peter's recognized that only Jesus is worth putting our faith in. He's the only one who is worth trusting with our lives. And so for Peter and the other disciples, well, minus Judas, I guess, it sort of didn't matter what Jesus said or how weird some of the stuff was, because they knew in their imperfect faith that Jesus was the only way to eternal life. And so the question for us then is, do we recognize that Jesus is the only way to eternal life? That do we recognize that only in him can we find life? Or are we, in a sense, offended by some of the things that Jesus teaches? And do we want to hold on to our status or our power or whatever else we have outside of Jesus? Do we think we can find true meaning in life apart from Jesus? And that's a challenge, because often we do go in the wrong direction. But in an ultimate sense, with our whole lives, we need to strive to be like Peter and these disciples and trust that in Jesus, even though we might not understand some things, even though some things might be even offensive to us, we need to be in a place where we recognize that following Jesus is the only way. He's the only way to eternal life, to a life that has real purpose and meaning. Let's pray for that kind of faith to grow within our hearts. Let's desire to follow Jesus. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you that in you we have the way to eternal life. And we thank you that you offer that life to us. You don't force it upon us, but you invite us to be part of your kingdom. And we pray that as we follow you, that we will get over the offensiveness of things, we'll get over ourselves, and that as we follow you, that we'll find that true joy and hope as we surrender everything to you, Jesus. It's a hard thing for us to do, Lord, so we need your help. Help us, Lord. And we trust in you, though. We love you. In your name we pray.